हरे की जय।
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। इसकान चांद्राचार्य शिल भाई की जय। रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम जगह श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री राधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्रीराधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंदर कुंद गिर गोठान की जय। श्री श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री श्रीताम की जय। श्री श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री श्री मथुर धाम की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। रंग माय की जय। जबर माय की जय। गौर प्रेम नंद हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्री श्री बृहद मृंग की जय। चंद्र प्रसाद श्री कृष्ण की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री राधा गौड़ की जय। श्री श्री गौड़ धाम की जय। समवीर भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री सिंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री सिंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री सिंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री गौरांग श्री गौरांग। So this morning, I wasn't really expecting to give class, but it's going to have to be very short because we're going down to Byron Bay very soon. So maybe someone wants to continue after me. I've been exactly about 10 minutes. Maybe you can, if you want. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Natho Jayam Udirayat Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Translations and Purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Fifth Canto, 18th Chapter, Text Number 24. I'll read this in one other verse.
Ramya Keta Bhagavata Priyatamam Matsyam Navatararupam Tadvarsha Purushaya Manoprak Padarshitam San. Idanim api mahatta bhakti yogena radhayatitam chodaharati.
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. In Ramyaka Varsha, where Vaivasvata Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, the Chakshusha Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra.
Om Namo Bhagavate Mahattamaya Nama Sattvaya Panayo Jase Sahase Balaya Mahamatsaya Nama Iti.
Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is in the origin of life, bodily strength. He is the origin of life. Bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability. Known as Matsyavatara, the gigantic fish incarnation, he appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jayadeva Goswami sings, Palayo payodhi jale dhritavanasi vedam vihita vihitra charitram akedam keshavadrita minasarira jaya jagadisha hari. Soon after the cosmic creation, the entire universe was inundated with water. At that time, Lord Krishna Keshava incarnated as a gigantic fish to protect the Vedas. Therefore, Manu addresses Lord Matsya as Mukhyatama, the first incarnation to appear. Fish are generally considered a mixture of the modes of ignorance and passion, but we must understand that every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental. There is never any deterioration of the Supreme Lord's original transcendental quality. Therefore, the word sattvaya is used here, meaning pure goodness on the transcendental platform. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord, Varaha Murti, the boar form, Kurma Murti, the tortoise form, Hayagriva Murti, the form of a horse, and so on. Yet we should never think of any of them as material. They are always situated on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendence. Om Agina Tinirandasya Ganam Jana Salakaya Chaksuran Ritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So in the Chaitanya Chaitamata, there are different descriptions of the types of incarnations of the Lord. They are classified, and each has a different function. Some are Purusha avatars, there are Leela avatars, there are Guna avatars, there are Manvantara avatars, there are Shaktivesha avatars. And each of these avatars has a different function. In the Kali Yuga, the usual incarnation is black in color, Krishna. The word Krishna means black. In the Satya Yuga, the incarnation is white, Shukla. Then in the Treta Yuga, the incarnation is Rakta, or red. In the Dwapara Yuga, the last Yuga, the incarnation is Shyam, which means bluish, tinted blue like a rain cloud. And the incarnation in this age is Krishna. This is described in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the different colors of the different incarnations. But in Kali Yuga, it is said that sometimes the incarnation is Pita, or yellow, and that's the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. So sometimes he's called a hidden incarnation, not always appearing. Or when Lord Chaitanya appears, he is known by those who have studied scrutinizingly the Vedic Shastras. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, there was some question. Especially Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a little suspect. He was a great, great scholar. So when Lord Chaitanya passed out, he lost his external consciousness in front of the Jagannath deities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya put a cotton swab in front of his nose to see if he was still breathing, to try to ascertain whether he was really in a trance-like state. So he gradually understood that he was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation, in this form. So this is a very special form, this avatar, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishna Sango Pangasta Parshnam. He's described as being not black, and being the incarnation who chants the holy name, and the incarnation for whom one who worships with great intelligence will understand in Kali Yuga is the actual form of the Lord, come in the form of a devotee, in the form of a Radharani, or as the devotee of the Lord. So as Prabhupada says, these incarnations, we should never think of them as material. They are all transcendental. There's one purport where Prabhupada says that the Lord is so kind that he incarnates in all different species of life. Never been able to quite figure that one out yet, but he incarnates in many forms. And even when he incarnates in the form of a boar, this form is considered by great devotees not to be abominable at all, like a pig or a hog or a boar, but very beautiful. And the sound that he makes and the shuddering of his body is all considered very, very beautiful. So, and it's interesting here that the among the Leela carnations, Matsya is the first. According to the Vedic evolution of the way species are created by Lord Brahma, these aquatics are created first. That's also the way that the Darwinian evolution talks about, is evolution coming from aquatics. There's a nice picture in Back to Godhead magazine a long time ago. I don't know if you drew it or somebody, but there was it was an illustration of life beginning from the lower aquatic forms and then gradually progressing to reptiles and then on up to beasts and then human beings. Finally, the last one was one standing up. Remember that picture? Darwin painted it. So he thought it was a really wonderful picture. And I was in London at the time. And lo and behold, one day we saw on the billboards, shortly after this picture came out in Back to Godhead, the same illustration. Not done by Jadarani, but the same depiction. of Lord Species coming up to finally a human standing up. It was very big on these billboards. And the human being, of course, he didn't have any clothes on. It's a little different right there from Jadarani. He was reading a newspaper. And the writing atop of the picture was an ad for a newspaper called the Evening Standard. And it said, "Come up to the Standard." So we realized that someone there had seen us back to Godhead magazine and plagiarized our illustration. So the culture of the Hare Krishna movement still rules, even in the field of advertising. So the devotees of the Lord are very attached to him in all his different forms. When Lord Chaitanya was present, he sometimes revealed to his intimate associates, like Ramananda Roy and Mari Gupta and others, that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes he revealed his form as a boar, as Lord Varaha, and sometimes he revealed his form, as he did with Ramananda Roy, as Radha and Krishna. So every living entity is Mamai Vamso, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana, Manasasta, Nindriyani, Pakriti, Stani, Karshati. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna claims them to be his part and parcels. So, in one sense, everyone is a kind of incarnation, or at least a mini-incarnation, by being part and parcel of Krishna. So there are different types of perfect living beings as well. There's the Sadhana Siddha, or one who becomes perfect. Siddha means perfect, by practice. There's the Kripa Siddha, one who becomes perfect by special mercy of the Lord. And there's the Nitya Siddha, or one who is perfect by past lives, or eternally perfect, or among the Nitya Siddha living beings. So in the past, sometimes devotees were uncertain about Prabhupada's position, whether he was his Sadhana Siddha, Kripa Siddha, or Nitya Siddha. So once we wrote him a letter, a couple of letters were written to him about this. One was, I wrote him one letter, and Tamal Krishnaraj wrote him one letter. And the letter that Tamal Krishnaraj wrote him, he wrote back saying, "There was never a time when I did not remember Krishna." And basically, he was saying in that letter that from his childhood, he was thinking of Krishna. He explained how he had a Rath Yatra cart. He always played with Krishna dolls. His parents were always talking about Radha and Krishna. So it was a pretty definitive statement that he was a Nitya Siddha. And the letter I wrote to him, he responded by saying that there are three types of siddhas, and he described these three types and explained what they were, the Sadhana Siddha, the Kripa Siddha, and the Nitya Siddha. Then he went on to say that in a greater sense, in a larger sense, we are all siddhas, and it doesn't matter whether we're Kripanas, Nityas, or Sadhanas. And then he gave the example, cited in the Bhagavad Gita in a little bit different way, that waters from the different hills and rivers all finally run down to the sea. And when they run down into the sea and become seawater, their origin's no longer considered. It's no longer important. So he said that once someone is siddha, it doesn't really matter how they became a siddha, but they are all siddhas. So in this letter, he mentioned this verse, Mamai Vamsa Jivaloke, that in a larger sense, he said everyone may be considered a siddha because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So everyone, as Prabhupada has written, has the potential to be fully Krishna conscious. He's written this several times in his books. Everyone has the potential to attain to the highest position of love of Godhead. Throughout devotee lives, one tries to emulate or at least follow in the footsteps or understand the teachings of these great teachers. So this song that Prabhupada quotes, Palayo Payodi Jale, Dhritavanasi Vedam, Hita Vihitram Saritam Akedam, is part of the Dasavatar song by Jayadeva Goswami, who writes about the different incarnations, especially the Leela incarnations. So when Jayadeva Goswami was writing, one time, he was describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And because their pastimes are very intimate, he at one point thought that he was writing a little too intimately about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He was writing a beautiful poem about how Radharani became angry with Krishna, and Krishna, in order to pacify her anger, asked her if he could worship her feet. Then he thought, oh, this is very offensive. I can't write this. So he ran out of the house and went to bathe in the Ganga to purify himself. So then he, well, he was, then, so then his wife was there with him. So while she was there, she saw Jayadev come back and picked up the pen he was writing with and started to write the verses. He decided just to continue writing the same verse. Then he went out again. And then after a while, he came back again. And she saw him, and he went over and looked at the book, and he said, "Who wrote this?" And she said, "What do you mean? You were just here. You wrote it yourself." And he looked at it, and it was his exact same handwriting. And he said, "What do you mean? Who wrote this?" And then she explained that you came back and you wrote it. But I didn't come back. I was just bathing in the Ganga. I just came back now. And then he thought and he realized that it was actually Krishna himself. Who else could have written exactly the same handwriting and could have looked exactly like him so that his wife couldn't tell the difference? So Krishna actually had come in and completed this verse. And the verse was that because Radharani had become very angry, Krishna pacified her by saying that when you become angry, I can only pacify you by worshipping your very beautiful and merciful lotus feet. So that became a part of his writing. So Prabhupada glorifies Jayadev and many other poets who write about the incarnations of Krishna. There are many incarnations. They're all glorious. There are so many that they are more voluminous than the bubbles in the sea. And they just keep appearing and reappearing as Krishna's pastimes keep reappearing. So I'm sorry I can't give a longer class, but we have to set out. I was going to suggest that maybe next time I give class, I would read some of the 108 ways you can celebrate Srila Prabhupada's centennial. Does anybody here not have this? Or, yeah? Don't have it? I think it's a very important, I was discussing it with Lokanath Maharaj, I think it's a very important publication. So I was thinking maybe we could read it. You can pass them out and maybe read it. I thought it was very valuable because as we approach the centennial, everybody wants to do something. And it's not always possible to do something in a collective way or to organize events the way we want. But this is very nice. It was thought over very carefully by a lot of devotees, and they sort of all got together and combined a lot of different ideas and came up with things that you can do so that even if we can't do certain things in a group, there's a lot of things that we can do individually. And of course, sometimes if we do things individually, it provides some basis for which we can do things in a group collectively. So, thank you very much. Do you want to continue to speak? Because I'm sorry, it was very, very. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Datho Jayamudirayat Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, text number 27. 26. We read 25 yesterday. So I'll just read the Sanskrit. And this morning, as we mentioned yesterday, as I mentioned, we'll read up from the centennial and discuss some of the points about the centennial, 108 ways in which you can observe Prabhupada's centennial. Anta bahita kira loka palakaya adrishta rupo vichi asiru sana sa ishvarastvam yaidam vashe nayam namna yatta darumayim narastriyam Antarbahi chakila loka palakai radrishta rupo vicharaskiru svana sa yishwarastham yedam vashinayam namnayata darumayim narastriyam. I can read that word for word together. Anta, within. Bahi, without. Cha, also. Akila loka palakai, akila loka palakai, by the leaders of the different planets, societies, kingdoms, and so on. Adrishta rupa, nasin. Vicharasi, you wonder. Uru, very great. Svanaha, whose sounds? Vedic mantras. Saha, he. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Tam, you. Yaha, who? Idam, this. Vashe, under control. Onayat, has brought. Namna, by different names, like Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Yata, exactly like. Darumayim, made of wood. Naraha, a man. Sriyam, a doll. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as the supreme witness and commander and are outside everyone as well, so-called leaders of society, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Responsibly. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls, and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe. Such as Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart, as the supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of society, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is antarbahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize his presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, natto natyararo yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, he is the super soul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet, although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, darumayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women waits to remain wants to remain independent. What to speak of women, all living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita. Apareyam mitastranyam prakriti virimehi param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord, Narayan, who is beyond its material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Ekoha vai Narayana asit. Foolish persons think that Narayan is on the platform of ordinary material existence. Because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity, they concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Mitya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Om Agnati Manandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Prabhupada is making a distinction here between Narayan, the supreme controller, and Narayan, as falsely or mistakenly conceived of as a human being, as a Daridra, a poor man, as a Swami, and other ways. And Sukadeva Goswami is establishing that Narayan is the supreme controller. Prabhupada says here at the end that realization, he says, is knowing that Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. There are different notions about Narayan being the super soul or being diffused throughout the whole universe equally. There are notions that the living entity is actually Narayan, and that at the end of his material body, he merges into the existence of Narayan and becomes equal to Narayan. So it's said sometimes that this is the last snare of Maya, that one thinks, instead of being eternally an individual, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, always maintaining a separate existence, but maybe looking like one has a relationship to the Supreme Lord that is of oneness, unless one has this understanding, one will be deluded. So it's said in the Bhagavad Gita that the individual soul is not only primeval, but existing eternally. Krishna explains to Arjuna that both you and I have been born millions of times. So this establishes the eternal existence of the individual soul. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Personality of God is present both within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy. The external energy of the Lord is very attractive. One who does not possess bhakti will invariably and inevitably be attracted to the external energy of the Lord. Once Prabhupada was interviewed in 1976 in London, and he was asked, what's the purpose of life? And Prabhupada said, it's written also in the Science of Self-Realization, this interview. The purpose of life, he said, is to enjoy. So, enjoyment is misconceived unless one is a devotee. It's said in the Bhagavatam, Yasyatmi Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana. Sarvaya Gunastatrasa Masate Shiva. When one is engaged in bhakti, one possesses all the good qualities of the suras or the demigods, like religion and tolerance and remembrance. However, if one becomes forgetful, Harava Bhaktasya Kruto Mohat Guna, Manoratena Sati Davato Bhi, then he must become engaged in the he cannot be said to have these good qualities because he's Harava Bhaktasya, he's not a bhakta, he's not engaged in the practice of bhakti. And therefore, Manoratena Sati Davato Bhi, he must be engaged in the external service of the Lord. So everybody has to do service, and if one's not engaged in doing devotional service, one will invariably be engaged in doing service to the external energy of the Lord, because service must be rendered. The external attractions of the Lord, or the external delusion caused by the Lord's external energy, the external energy is very attractive, and everyone is engaged in this service of this master, this harsh taskmaster. We just saw yesterday an article printed in the Courier. The reporter came here a couple of days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, and was very puzzled about how people could live the ideals of Krishna consciousness, four regulator principles, 16 rounds, and live out in the world, so to speak, having a job and so on. So we explained all this. We thought she understood it. But when she wrote the article, she compared the living in Krishna consciousness to being in a prison. That was the headline. It's something about a prison. So we analyzed this by understanding that this person was very deeply engaged in the external service of the Lord and considered it the be-all and end-all of life. And someone, she thought, or any group of people that were living a life not serving the external energy but the internal energy of the Lord were living in a prison. They were escaping from the realities of life. So for materialists, this Krishna consciousness, which is the opening door of higher service, the door opening to the spiritual world and to eternal freedom, is actually like a prison. It's like the dense darkness of delusion to them. And for a devotee sees that one who is engaged in this external energy of the Lord is really the prisoner. So that was the play of words. In the interview, one of the devotees said that we consider this material world to be like a prison. So she kind of picked up on that. And said, actually, we are living in a prison. So this completely turned it around, because one who is deeply engaged in the external service of the Lord cannot possess the good qualities of a devotee. It is said, Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna. One cannot actually possess good qualities. And when one doesn't possess the good qualities of religion and tolerance and remembrance and devotional life, then one has to see everything completely from the wrong point of view. So it's said in the second chapter, Yanisha Sarabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisha Pashyato Munehe. What is daytime for all living beings is like night for the devotees. And what is night time for the devotees is day for those who are non-devotees. For the introspective sage, that which is night for all is like daytime. So we get up at 3, 4 o'clock, and that's still night. Some of the materialists who have been deluded by the external energy are still, especially on Saturday and Sunday morning, still kind of staggering around, or they're fast asleep, or if they get up, maybe 11 or 12. So, and then they see us as being deluded. We're living in this little dream world, getting up at 4 in the morning and going to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So that is the difference. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. What is night for all beings is day for the sage or the bhakta. So sometimes we hear this phrase, it's like the difference between night and day. So there's that gulf of difference between one who is engaged in the external and one who is engaged in the internal energy. A great one, like night and day. And the task at hand for those who are followers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna is to dispel this darkness and cast the light of the Bhagavatam upon it so that the light, the real light of day, can awaken in the hearts of the conditioned souls, and they can imbibe these qualities of bhakti, and thereby obtain all good qualities. That's the transformation process. So Prabhupada goes on to say, Srimati Kunti has explained that Krishna appears in the world, nato natyararo yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. Param paramahansanam, what is it? Muninam amalatmanam, bhakti yoga vidamartanam, tatam pasyena histriya. In that same section, in the 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, tatam paramahansanam, muninam amalatmanam, she says that the Krishna comes only for the pure and the paramahansas, munina and the great munis. But bhakti yogam, one who practices bhakti yoga, vidamartam tatam pasyena histriya, can get the benefit of the Lord's association in any condition of life. And she's saying, even as a woman, she's asking, how can even a woman get your association when you come especially for the great paramahansas? And then Krishna says, this next verse, nato natyararo yata, that he comes as a player. He has a great veil of maya. Lakshanam mudadrishtas natto natyararo yataha. There is a great veil that covers Krishna's real being. And therefore he disguises himself, or he hides himself from those who are non-devotees. In his real form he is not so easily accessible. He envelops them with maya or mahamaya. And if one is very fortunate, one engages in the devotional process and that veil of maya is lifted. And only nalakshase mudadrishas, those who are very determined or very foolish and attached to the material nature, they cannot see Krishna in his original form. So natto natyararo yataha, he comes just like an actor, dressed as a player. He is the supreme controller, but he appears in different ways. Sometimes he appears as death to the atheist. He's like the personification of death. For Prabhupada once said that for one who is an alcoholic, he's the taste of the alcohol. And Krishna says, Rasoham apsuhantaya, I am the taste of water. Rasoham apsuhantaya, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Krishna is the moon, Krishna is the sun. Krishna explains in detail in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste of water. I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So Krishna has so many different roles that he plays, and therefore he's described like an actor. An expert actor is so good that one can't tell. You can't see who the real person is. You're just seeing the external. That's the perfection of being an actor or actress. One can play the part so perfectly that the real person who's behind, the personality who is the actor, can't be known. So this is the way in which Krishna deludes the living entities. This is Krishna's maya. And he's very, very expert. Very expert. He's packaged the abominable blood and bone and all the other things that go inside the human body in a very smooth skin so that the sexes are attracted to one another. As soon as this little thin layer of skin, the minute fraction of the body weight, is stripped away, it becomes so revolting that no one can even look at it. It gets sick to your stomach. Well, that's actually the true nature of material life. It's not really the natural, normal place. And a devotee has a sort of healthy aversion to it and becomes more and more fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna and serving Krishna. Then one is engaged in the eternal, internal energy of the Lord and not bewildered. And as Prabhupada said, saying, foolish people try to see God, please show God to me. But if one is intelligent, one tries to understand God by study, by reading, by chanting, by processes of yoga and meditation. Then Krishna will reveal his true form. So he is not so easily accessible.
But for one who engages in devotional service, he becomes very easily accessible. Dabihi yeshi gunamayi mama maya dharatiya mam evaya kupajyante maya metantarantite. It becomes very easy. Maya metantarantite. Very easy to access by devotional service. So one has to become qualified. Sometimes the analogy is used of the computer. If you have more intelligence how to use it, you can access more and more complex systems. Or sometimes people have a password to access a higher level of sophistication. I think in the computer games they have that. When you win a certain level of the game, then you can go to a higher level, a higher level, a higher level. So the more qualified one becomes by sadhana bhakti, the higher realms of Krishna consciousness one can access until one becomes just immersed in prema or bhava. And ultimately, one is never deluded over the fact that Krishna controls everything and that our independence is extremely small compared to what Krishna has. The living entity's independence is very, very minute. The transformation of understanding this minuteness of thinking, first of all, that we are the controllers of everything, or that we are Narayan, to understanding that we are a minute servant of Krishna, is the transformation from being an abhakta to a bhakta. So we don't go too late. I want to read from this brochure. You have it? This was very nicely put together by Lokanath Maharaj and some of the committee members who thought for some time how to celebrate Prabhupada's centennial. So these are the 12 different petals of the centennial and ways in which we can all observe them. There's also a nice letter. You might not have seen this yet, but it's published by Ganadas, who does a newsletter for Uniting Prabhupada's Family. Of course, some people have objected to saying Uniting Prabhupada's Family because they say there already is a family and you should call it Strengthening Prabhupada's Family. But anyway, it certainly does need, or unifying Prabhupada's Family, certainly needs a lot of unifying or strengthening. But anyway, this is another newsletter that a devotee named Gopa Vrindapal contributed to. Gyanadas in London writes the newsletter. And he also had a lot of points, not 108, but he had maybe 30 points, things you can do to unite Prabhupada's Family. Maybe we can read that another time. It's very, very nicely done. Does he come here sometimes, Gopa Vrindapal? He and his wife, Mulaprakriti, travel to different temples, sometimes to outside of America, and they travel outside of America to different countries and give seminars about how particularly families can strengthen themselves, and then between them they can create a stronger community. So the first one is increasing Prabhupada consciousness. One, play Srila Prabhupada bhajan tapes or listen to his lecture tapes. Almost everybody has access to tapes. I think there's over 1,000 lecture tapes now available. Two, watch videos of Srila Prabhupada. Three, start a Bhaktivedanta library. Four, read or reread Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita and other books about Srila Prabhupada. Five, attend Prabhupada nights at your local temple or hold one at your house. Six, cook once a week for Srila Prabhupada in the temple, meditating on his pleasure. Seven, worship a murti of Srila Prabhupada at home. So we'll probably make copies of these. I would like to recommend that everyone gets a copy of this. And you'll find probably you're already doing a lot of these things, but it's a great thing to have around as a reference. And there's probably a lot of things that we're not doing that we could do. So that's the pedal. There's 12 petals, there's 12 different categories, called increasing Prabhupada consciousness. Next one, raising spiritual standards. 8, read at least 100 lines daily from Srila Prabhupada's books. 9, increase your attendance at temple programs. 10, increase the quality of your rounds. 11, help to organize a maha cleanup of your temple. 12, increase your service to the temple deities. 13, get a raising spiritual standards poster. 14, memorize important verses from the Bhagavad Gita or other authorized shastras. Make a list of weeds that are slowing your spiritual progress and work on removing one each month. 16. Make a vow to give up or limit things that are not conducive to spiritual advancement, like watching TV, etc. Uniting Prabhupada's family. 17. Keep in touch with devotees who cannot visit the temple. 18. Send your name and address to be entered in the global database of initiated ISKCON devotees. Encourage others to send theirs. 19. Apologize to devotees you may have offended in the past. 20. Help one or more devotees to return to devotional service. 21. Fill out the GBC Centennial Survey and return it to Professor Burke Rochford. 22. Help organize and support devotee and community services. 23. Organize or attend a local, national, or regional reunion at your temple. 24. Subscribe to the International Prabhupada Anuga newsletter. So this is the newsletter I was mentioning, which is very nice. I reviewed the first draft of the first one. And I've also contacted Janadas recently to send one down here. They always say down here in Australia, down under, over here, out here. And Maravisa Prabhu will make copies for everybody. It's a very nice newsletter. Sometimes I was asked to make a comment for one of the centennial newsletters so they could publish it in some of their centennial updates, because I'm on the global working committee. And usually I would make a comment about how I thought how important it was to strengthen Prabhupada's family, and that that was, to me, in many ways, the most important thing that could be done. So I thought that way because Prabhupada wanted us to work. Work together, and he always said that if we work together, a bundle of sticks is harder to break than individual sticks. We would be more successful. And it was Prabhupada's desire. He worked very hard to create an entity, a legal and social and community entity that would endure for many, many years, maybe hopefully centuries after his departure from this material world. So the force of Prabhupada's movement, its cohesiveness, its community spirit, its sense of family, is crucial to advancing the cause of Krishna consciousness the way Prabhupada wanted it to be advanced. He did a unique thing in among his godbrothers all over the world. He did a unique thing, full stop, just all over the world. It was unique, but there were many other disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who also are very advanced devotees. But what makes Prabhupada's movement so unique is that he established a mechanism. We might say a machine. Well, that sounds very mechanical. But in a sense it is. It's a society, a global society, with the unique capacity to bring the most benefit to the most people in the shortest amount of time. That's something that no one else has been able to establish, to do the most service in the best way for the most people, in the shortest amount of time, in the most efficient way. So Prabhupada devised a system where that core group grew very fast and was established in little pockets all around the world. And he established also ways that they could be in constant touch. For example, he established the system of transcendental competition for the book distributors. And there was, during Prabhupada's time here, this went out every week. And it created, in addition to just Prabhupada's presence being there and writing letters, it created a sense of what Prabhupada called transcendental competition. It wasn't envious competition, but it was a way
that everyone in different parts of the world could appreciate what the devotees in other parts of the world or the country were doing. A big list of names. And that really helped to establish a sense of family. We're all doing this. It doesn't have to be book distribution. It can be anything. And other newsletters are coming alive now that do similar things. But it's interesting for us to meditate on that and realize how expert Prabhupada was at establishing this sense of world community and a cohesiveness that the devotees should be sort of walking together in lockstep like the stormtroopers, but in a very transcendental and benevolent way to benefit everybody on the planet. So if the community, the society, the machine, so to speak, for the vehicle, for advancing Krishna consciousness in ourselves individually and then collectively in society is advanced, and that will be a great contribution for Srila Prabhupada in the centennial. We may not succeed in establishing a lot of memorials or distributing, you know, quantum leaps of more books or prasadam distribution or enhancing ISKCON's reputation. We might not have so many big events. Certainly we'll have many successes in all these fields. But in one sense, even the goal of all these different initiatives is to strengthen Prabhupada's society, is the machine of Krishna consciousness, so to speak. So if the society and the vehicle is strong, then so many things can be achieved, many, many things that are far beyond our ability to achieve individually. So this is the great challenge that lies before us. And it was Prabhupada's unique genius. He was able to pull together people of diverse backgrounds from all different parts of the world, different ages, different mentalities, completely different social standards, and unite them, bring a sense of unity. So this is a very, very important pedal, uniting or strengthening Prabhupada's family. And we're very fortunate to have Madhurvisa Prabhu right here in our presence. He's got a big portfolio, Australia and maybe beyond. Already are doing a lot of beyond things. So, yeah. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada established this mechanism, you said, about this kind of global society. And there's certain institutions within the society that Prabhupada set up, like Ratha Yatra and Harinam, Sankirtan, book distribution, the Sunday love feast, and things like that. And these are things that draw and unite Srila Prabhupada's family, because a person who from France can come to Australia here, and on Sunday he could, you know, rest assured there's going to be a Sunday feast, or there's going to be Harinam on Saturday or something like that, or it'll be a Ratha Yatra. And it seems like somehow or other there's a shift within the consciousness of some leaders of the society to put emphasis more on other things than on these old traditions. More emphasis being put on business, doing business, becoming economically solvent, polishing up the bricks and the marble and things like that, but at the expense of these other institutions that are very, like the essence of the Krishna consciousness process. And I feel that if we are going to be successful in reuniting Prabhupada's family, those people who have somehow or other been estranged from Krishna consciousness, what they're looking for and starving for out there is that those old traditions that Prabhupada gave us. And somehow or other we have to be very careful not to de-emphasize those things and, at the expense of becoming more progressive.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if I need to. You seem to express yourself very clearly. Maybe somebody else does. I don't know. But Prabhupada established, for one thing, three angas: prasadam, holy name, books, and maybe there's a fourth anga, congregation. Bringing it all together. And obviously, preaching, Prabhupada put one on the forefront. Of course, Prabhupada also said, "Good management means making sure that one is the society is also solvent. So as you pointed out, in the course of becoming solvent and making sure that the bills are paid, it's easy to miss or minimize or somehow neglect some of the essential preaching things. Just like we've seen book distribution went down, it's starting to come up, but it really fell off very sharply. And other things too fell off very sharply at a certain point. So I think ISKCON is in the rebuilding process very much. And management and leadership are very much intertwined and in one sense can't be separated. So there are initiatives underway, partly through these centennial committees, to give courses in leadership and management and organization so that all the elements can be brought together. And rather than anything be minimized, everything going ahead, including a strong financial basis. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Anyway, we think. Prabhupada said we're supposed to be positive. Not that we should ignore problems, but try to keep the attitude positive. Anyway, shall I carry on? Strengthening ISKCON management. 25, participate in managing your local temple. Become part of the management or advisory board. 26, provide social or medical service to temple devotees. 27, organize training seminars at your temple for specific areas of service and or undergo training in your service area. 28, read Srila Prabhupada's instructions in the Shikshamrita on Krishna consciousness management. 29, provide or help provide adequate facilities for all devotees living in the temple. Next pedal, spreading the holy name. 30, start a Harinam in your community, following the suggestions given in the pedal, spreading the holy name. 31, present Srila Prabhupada Bhajan or Japa tapes to friends and interested people. 32, organize or participate in a 24-hour kirtan on Ekadasi on some other day. 33, invite your friends and neighbors for a satsang, including bhajans and kirtans. 34, study the Harinam manual. 35, get the Maha Mantra broadcast on radio. I think for India, we're planning on the 23rd or thereabouts of November of 1996. One of those is that's in the spring, the Holy Name Day. That's in the spring of 96 to have certain radio stations in India broadcast just Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day long, 24 hours. It'll probably be possible. And it'll probably be possible in some other places like Mauritius, where there's a very strong Hindu community, maybe in Nepal, and maybe in some of the smaller radio stations in and around everywhere, that it'll be possible. So we're very excited about that. 36, get famous singers to release audio tapes or records of the Maha Mantra. 37, organize or attend interfaith gatherings focused on chanting the holy name of the Lord. 38, encourage the Indian communities and satsang groups to include the chanting of the Maha Mantra in their programs. 39, organize or participate in a padayatra. We heard that one of the bands that played at Byron Bay yesterday was going to chant Om Purnamanaha Purnamida. I don't know if they did, but they were a famous band supposed to do that. I heard some famous band. Devotee bands aren't famous yet, are they? Are they? Maybe they are. Producing and distributing books. 40. Distribute at least one book per week or day during 1996. 41. Present Srila Prabhupada books to VIPs. 42. Place Srila Prabhupada's books in bookstores, universities, and public libraries. 43. Help prepare biographies of Srila Prabhupada. 44. Write your memoirs, your memories of Srila Prabhupada. Expanding prasadam distribution. 45. Start or help with the Hare Krishna Food for Life program. 46. Study the Food for Life manual and subscribe to the Food for Life newsletter. 47. Cook prasadam and distribute to your neighbors, schools, and local welfare organizations. Start a prasadam distribution program at local highway rest stops, etc. 48. Invite people to honor prasadam at your home. 49. Organize cooking classes. 50. Mail prasadam to all your loved ones. 51. Distribute cookbooks. Lord Chaitanya advised Karma Brahma to preach especially to his friends and relatives, and they all became devotees. So it was very nice.
Holy Name Day. Has there been any attempt to initiate some large-scale releases for 1996 about, you know, high-altitude musicians.
There's always a lot of talk about this, but never usually happens. Huh? Midnight Oil. They live here, don't they? They're the biggest in the world, I think. Anyway, there's always a lot of ideas, and of course, it would be very nice. So I hope. It takes a lot of time to do things like that. Of course, if Krishna wants it, it can happen immediately. Then offering special achievements, 52. Spend 100 hours working for a local national centennial committee in 1995 or 96. That's not so much. That's like 2.5 40-hour weeks to be done. 53. Make a personal commitment and fulfill it by 1996. 54. Help devotees meet their goals for 100 padayatras in 100 countries, 100 Food for Life programs, 100 million books distributed, 1,000 Prabhupada libraries, etc. Building congregations. 55. Subscribe to the Congregational Preaching Journal. 56. Watch the training. That's the one we were just talking about. 56. Watch the training videos by Sridhar Swami and Jai Pataka Swami. 57. Begin or help run a Sunday school program, local youth club, or children's camp. 58. Publish a local community newsletter. 59. Organize a congregational reading contest, form a discussion group, or develop a reading room. 60. Start a Namahata. Establishing memorials. 61. Research places in your area where Srila Prabhupada stayed, gave a program, or walked, and established an historical memorial in that area. I think Mayeshwar is working on one, right? For here. Right out here?
Yeah.
Or is it that side? This is here. It's going to look a little bit like this gazebo with beautiful panels of Srila Prabhupada on the outsides, bas relief sculptures. And you can walk in, right, and see things. It's all on the outside, and it's got a little roof overhanging. So that'll be a memorial to Srila Prabhupada, because he... did he come here? He didn't come to New Bali.
No, he was... when they purchased the farm, they notified Prabhupada, and Prabhupada approved of the name, and the New Bali guy.
Right. So this is Prabhupada's place. Right. So this will be the memorial of New Govardhan. 62. Donate towards Srila Prabhupada's samadhis in Vrindavan and Mayapur. The Mayapur samadhi is going to open, by the way, on the 26th of February, according to Jai Pataka Maharaj. It's not the grand opening, but it's the grand opening. Rehearsal for the grand opening. Ambarisha is going to come, and they've invited the President of India to come also. So, let's see. 63. Plant a Prabhupada memorial tree in a public place and install a plaque. 64. Preserve or display any special Prabhupada prasadam or memorabilia that you have. 65. Help renovate Srila Prabhupada's living quarters or establish a Srila Prabhupada museum. 66. Sponsor a memorial in an important place of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. So everyone can help Mayeshwar by contributing to enhancing worldwide reputation. 67. Schedule TV programs for local or national broadcast and organize radio broadcasting on local or national network. 68. Establish good relations in your neighborhood. 69. Write articles about Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON for publication in local newspapers. Contact ISKCON Communications for help. 70. Be an ambassador of the communications ministry at your temple. 71. Get a street, park, or other public place renamed after Srila Prabhupada. 72. Invite VIPs to attend centennial campaign and celebration events. 73. Make your friends and parents familiar with and favorable to ISKCON. 74. Help get a postage stamp released in your country. 75. Get appreciations of Srila Prabhupada and his books from scholars, scientists, etc. I would add to this, you can also get the communications manual, and you can subscribe to Hare Krishna Today. You can subscribe to ISKCON World Review. You can subscribe to ISKCON Communications Briefings. These are all publications of ISKCON Communications Ministry. So you can be more up to date with the society's activities and its reputation. Celebrating 1996 events, this you can do through Taitreya, the office here. Celebrating 1996 event. 76, volunteer time and resources to the local, national, or international centennial events. 77, take part in preparing your local temple's 1996 calendar of events and circulate it widely. 78, help with centennial exhibits at book fairs and spiritual conferences. I think we counted five exhibits at the Byron Bay. There was Guru Dakshin, he had an exhibit. There were two food booths and I think two other stalls selling paraphernalia. So we could do things also like that. And of course there was the band. I think Ramai Maharaj played. And the girls' band played. This year, Mother Cow, they played. And Sandeep accompanied them on his tabla. So then we have a list of the events as they are given here. Hare Krishna World Convention, 79. Participate in the Hare Krishna World Convention, Navadvip Mandal Parikram, Maha Reunion, opening of Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi, etc. 80. Volunteer to help run the festival smoothly. 81. Bring displays of your centennial projects. 82. Bring your Prabhupada memorabilia to Mayapur for display at the Prabhupada Memorabilia Exhibition. 83. Represent your country at the 100 country processions in Calcutta and Delhi. There's going to be a big procession, which is a lot of smaller processions. Each procession is of a different country, so we're expecting 100 countries to march with their group from their country. And the idea is to have a big flag of that country. So you have to get a big Australian flag, and then you can have a big Hanuman flag or some other big Krishna flag right with it, so they're together. So the idea is to have 100 countries all parading one after the other with their country flag next to a big either ISKCON logo flag or Hanuman flag or a big Lord Chaitanya flag, some kind of an ISKCON flag. Then there's centennial festivals. 84, organize a centennial festival in your area or country. 85, take part in the All India Traveling Festival. 86, begin saving Lakshmi so that you can attend major centennial festivals in your region or worldwide. Next, Global Padayatra Week, April 21 to April 27, 1996, of course. 87, organize, support, or take part in the Padayatra Week in your area. Next, heading, World Holy Name Day, April 28, 1996. 88, organize or take part in Harinams, 24-hour kirtans, interfaith gatherings, etc. At one point, Prabhupada wanted 24-hour kirtan in all the temples. I mean, he asked for it. Of course, now it's going on nicely. I think it's been 6 years. No, it's been more than that in Vrindavan. I can't remember the number. It's been going on for a number of years. I think at least 6 years. So Prabhupada liked that very much. You can imagine sometime in the future when there's a larger number of devotees in the temple that you can have 24-hour kirtan and shifts all through the night. That's World Holy Name Day, April 28th. Then, Mahavyasa Puja, September 6th, 1996. 89, write a Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. 90, help collect 1,008 sacred waters in India for the Maha Abhishek. 91, sponsor a kailash of sacred water for the Maha Abhishek in Calcutta at your temple. 92, represent your temple at the Vyasa Puja 1996 in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada's birthplace. 93, attend Vyasa Puja at your temple. Now, Glory of India Festival. This is November 10th to November 22nd. 94, attend the openings of Delhi and Bangalore temples and Srila Prabhupada's Vrindavan Samadhi. This is November 1996, 10 to 22. 95, help organize the Srila Prabhupada Smriti Sammelan, gathering of saintly persons to glorify Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. 96, invite a religious leader to speak at a Smriti Sammelan, at the Smriti Sammelan. Then World Feast Day, November 23rd. 97, cook and distribute prasadam to as many people as possible. 98, support and donate towards the Feed Calcutta program. 99, feed cows and other animals. 100, help organize and take part in the World Feast Day at your temple. So this is a world day in which the temples all around the world will be participating and doing some kind of a big feed. And they're going to position it with the media as being something that's going on all over the world. So in other words, there'll be a big prasadam distribution, say in Murulumba, and will announce that the same big prasadam distribution, big feeding of Krishna food, or whatever we call it, is going on in Sydney and Melbourne and Perth and Canberra and 300, 400 cities all over the world, including Moscow, New York, London, Buenos Aires, etc., etc. And if all goes well, we will have a satellite link-up whereby the big events, the biggest ones, will be beamed up to a satellite television beaming. That's called uplinking. And then they will be on satellites all over the world. So the temples in other regions can what they call downlink, or get this broadcast from the satellite in their region, and it can be broadcast so that in Melbourne they can broadcast the big prasadam distribution, in Delhi, in Vrindavan, in New York. And in New York they can broadcast the big prasadam distribution from India or from Melbourne or wherever it is. So we're working on that. So that's World Feast Day. Also, it coincides with, I guess this is being very ethnocentric, but in America they have Thanksgiving this time of the year. It's a big day for feasting. And so supposedly offering thanks to God, even though they serve unmentionable things. Then we have Bhaktivedanta Institute Conference, which is in December, 21 to 28, 1996. Number 101, sponsor a delegate to the BI conference. 102, advertise the BI conference at nearby universities. 103, attend the BI conference in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada's Centennial Marathon is the last heading under celebrating 1996 events. 104, participate in the Srila Prabhupada Book Distribution Marathon. 105, sponsor books for free distribution to institutions. 106, facilitate book distributors, purchase bags, book carts, etc. 107, host a book distribution party at your home. Open your doors and let all of Durvasa Muni's disciples come in. If you have a big house, that's, you can do it. 108, sponsor billboards, ads in newspapers, etc. to advertise Srila Prabhupada's books. This number 105, Mahanidhi Maharaj is doing in India. He's authored several books now. He's got a book on Jagannath Puri, a book on Prabhupada, Radha Damodar, a book on appreciating Vrindavan Dhamma, a book on Samadhis, a book on Chaitanya Mangal. And what he's done is he's written a draft letter to heads of institutions, mostly universities, libraries, and school libraries that aren't universities, introducing Prabhupada's books with a nice cover letter that I'm donating these books to your school, university, library, or to your library, and I hope that you can place them. Then at the same time he's getting sponsors so that the sponsor will pay for the purchase of the books, and all the institution has to do is say yes or no. And in India, of course, most of them are going to say yes. This can be done in many, many other countries successfully too, because libraries, like, it's like giving them a grant, and then you put the name of the person who gave the book. That can be actually written in the book, in the each volume of the book that's being distributed. So it's really a wonderful way to reach the so-called opinion leaders, or the higher class, as sometimes said. There's many, many universities, there's many high schools, and libraries, county libraries, city libraries, state libraries, libraries all over, national libraries. And these libraries are inclined to take books that have some scholarly merit, and certainly Srila Prabhupada's do. So if a nice letter can be drafted, can be crafted, and sent out ahead, it's not difficult to get someone to sponsor a set of books, especially if it's going into a, like Australian National University or some prestigious institution. It's not difficult at all. And if a nice letter is written, then it's a wonderful service for Prabhupada. Prabhupada always liked it when the book party was out, distributing books in that way, getting books in all the universities and libraries all over the world. So I'll just read the few lines of the introduction. Srila Prabhupada's centennial celebration is an opportunity for everyone to make a personal offering to Srila Prabhupada on his 100th birthday. Whether it is by making an individual offering or by participating in a group project, you will reap all the benefits from his special celebration. Here are some ideas to help us all remember and better serve Srila Prabhupada. Of course, these are only a few drops in the ocean of blissful service to his divine grace. There is no limit to what one can do for Srila Prabhupada. Any offering from your heart will please him most. And there's an address here for the Centennial Office to get more information in Delhi. So I'm visiting there regularly now, It's not far from the temple, but the New Glory of India Project. You can walk it in about 10 minutes. And Lokanath Maharaj has a staff of, it looks like about maybe 8 full-time devotees working all day long. More are joining. They create publications. They keep in touch with the whole world by letters, by telephone, by comm, by their newsletters. And it's very inspiring. Maybe I could recommend that next time you go to Vrindavan, you can stop in Delhi and see how hard they're working and how, by their dedication to this project, Krishna seems to be bringing out all their different talents and empowering them to make the centennial not just another event, but a special event. So it's all so nice to think of doing something for the centennial in terms of serving those devotees who are working so hard. And, of course, Lokanath Maharaj, who is heading it all, to do something extraordinary for Srila Prabhupada on his centennial. So, any questions? Covered a lot of ground. Is there a question?
That in order to be Krishna conscious, you chant Krishna's name. And it keeps Krishna's form and Krishna's pastimes in consciousness. So I feel that the centennial consciousness has to be pushed a little bit by saying the word. Prabhupada centennial is power in the word, and if nobody says the word, then it'll be on the back burner, as they said, in our things to do. But if this is the campaign year, as Lokanath Maharaj was saying, and that we should start off by making a vow to just say the word every day, say the word to some, well, say the word to ourselves. That's why we have a centennial banner over Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa, so people look at it every day as a centennial. And at least they say it to themselves quietly. But now it requires that you say it out loud and you say it to other people. You just say the word. Prabhupada's centennial is coming up, won't it? And Lokanath Maharaj recommended that maybe we should put up chalkboards in the temple. And you have the countdown of the days, 360, now there's 350-something, 55 days left. The next day it breaks at 354. So there's a consciousness there. And because we're dull, we have dull consciousness, we're inert, we don't tend to move so fast on things. Unless we keep it fresh in our minds that is this a centennial campaign year, Prabhupada's centennial is coming. Because when 96 comes, it's not the year to start planning to do something. 96 is the year to do something. So 95 is the year we have to plan. So we have to say the word to each other. Like, Prabhupada's centennial is coming up, only 355 days left, or what are you going to do for centennial, or how's your centennial project coming, or you get any ideas about centennial that, you know, that I could do, something I could do. And by repeating the word centennial, Srila Prabhupada's centennial over and over again, then gradually it's going to take some effect. I know personally, when the whole concept of centennial first arrived on the scene, most of the devotees, you know, even up to the GBC level, people just were totally cool about it. Like, oh, well, you know, centennial, that's a cute idea, but, you know, it will never really happen, or, you know, what can we do? And it was very vague, and people really weren't motivated to doing anything. But due to Lokanath Maharaj's perseverance, and gradually he got other people to get fired up about it. So now there's a little bit of a groundswell about the centennial program. But it requires now more of a collective effort of everybody just kind of getting into the centennial effect of consciousness. And the way to start it off is the simplest way is just with your words. Like Prabhupada said, that the
If he can't give you life, if he can't give you intelligence, he can't give you work, he can simply give you words. And that's a service to Krishna. Your words are the chant of Krishna, or teach Krishna consciousness to your friends and family. So even if you don't have any other facility or any, you know, to engage in centennial, maybe you don't have any money, maybe you don't have any time, or whatever, but you have your words, and you can say to the Prabhupada centennial.
That's very good. And because sometimes things can become mechanical, and even words can become hackneyed. If we talk to each other and we can even, instead of just saying centennial, we can say, I know you didn't mean that, but when we say centennial, we can say things like, what are you doing for the centennial? Or you can say, I'm doing such and such, such and such for the centennial. And that immediately inspires the other person to start thinking about, it's not, okay, it's not just that it is, but here's something that so-and-so is doing, here's something that I can do, and maybe I can do something else. So like you say, it's going to take a strong collective effort. And it's something that it's foreign in a way to our society or any society to become for all the people in that society to become enthusiastic about something. Usually in organizations there's just a few people who are either organizing it or getting the money for it or whatever. And in our society we always say there's not enough manpower and money. So the idea is that if we have a good plan and we, like you say, we invoke the transcendental sound vibration to get Krishna's mercy, then manpower and brain power and women power, all power, human power, it will come. And money will also come. I had an experience of that with the Padayatra. We thought it was kind of a fanciful idea. Oh, yeah, walk. They were going to walk from Sacramento to San Diego. Sure. Yeah, good luck, fellas. And I mean, that was kind of the prevailing attitude, you know, Padayatra, who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? You know, I mean. So there was a big kirtan in Berkeley to kick it off. Berkeley's not far from Sacramento, where this big plan, you know, we're going to walk from Sacramento to San Diego. It's a long walk. It took a few months. And because it was such a good idea, we found that many devotees that lived in that far southern California, Los Angeles, San Diego, Laguna Beach, and surrounding areas, San Francisco, they just took their vacation at that time to be for the first 2 weeks of the centennial. And what happened was at the kirtan, I was asked to come to talk in some of the early places, probably in San Francisco, because I was there. There was a huge number of devotees. I mean, it was hundreds. And people that a lot of us had never even seen before. Prabhupada disciples. Where did they come from? They just came because it was such a good idea. And it was Prabhupada's direction, first to Lokanath Maharaj, that this bullock cart program be taken to all the villages in India, and then he expanded on it so nicely by taking it all around the world. And it was just such a pure response to Prabhupada's desire. That it was a good idea. It was something that could actually be done. You could walk, and you could chant, and it would be high enough. But all of a sudden, there was a huge number of people, and they walked. They walked from Sacramento to Tijuana. It was actually, Tijuana's the other side of the Mexican border, right across from San Diego. It's almost, you know, another day's walk or something, but it's very close. So this dream became, you know, all of a sudden a reality. Just in that kirtan, we could see it was going to be a huge success. And there were large numbers of devotees that started the walk. And then all through that walk, there was publicity, magnificent publicity, in all the little towns along the way. It was on the front page with a photograph. There was one great photograph of the devotees walking by Point Mugu. Point Mugu is it's along the way somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. It's near a beach near Los Angeles. I can't think of the name. But anyway, there's a big missile site there. It's a United States government military missile site. And they have replicas of all these missiles in one area. They're not the actual missiles, but they have all these huge missiles rebuilt as replicas. And the beach is right behind it. So one of the photographs on the front page of the newspaper in that area was the devotees walking past these missiles. They were doing a kirtan, and there were all these huge missiles behind them. It's a very striking picture. Anyway, all the way down, then they came to Los Angeles for the Rath Yatra. And it's always been kind of hard for the devotees to get published, even though they have this huge festival. It's bigger than almost any festival in the city. But that year, it was due to the austerity and the strength of the execution of Prabhupada's order being carried out. There was a huge article in the Los Angeles Times because the Padayatra was involved, and they were walking for freedom. We were walking for religious freedom in the Robin George case. And then they all came down to San Diego, and we had another big court case. And we won something. We won an appeal. Anyway, it proved the Padayatra to be like that. It was a dream, but it was something that Prabhupada wanted. So the centennial now is the centennial and Padayatra offices have combined in Delhi, and they're all kind of working together to glorify Prabhupada. So with a little bit of effort, the consciousness can definitely be raised. Same thing happened here with the Padayatra. It was it 2 years ago? It started in Brisbane, and it was a great success. Just fantastic. So we can start asking each other what we're doing for the centennial. Maybe we can get a song. Maybe we can ask Kari Bandhu and Krishna Premi to write it. We can make a tape of the centennial theme song or something like that, too, so that the sounds, the vibration is filling the air all the time. Okay, thank you very much. Guntura Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Centennial Celebration Ki Jai.